Amen.
All right, we're teaching on manifesting as sons of God, and also we're going into this area called vengeance and recompense, and we're in volume 2 of this, and this is lesson number 16, 1-6. Okay, let's read. I'll start reading, and you can just follow along with me. I'll start reading at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Say, I'm a joint heir. Now look what it said in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption unto the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until when? Until now. Praise God in heaven. All right, so we're talking about manifesting the sons of God and this area of vengeance and recompense. We're trying to get to the end of this. All right, now last time we finished up talking about the basically what's happening in terms of people's lives and their level of development as a Christian. And we said that last time that there are three basic levels that we talked about. And one level is a level, the lowest level, which is the kind of Christians that continue to suffer, you know, setbacks, and we're always going through, and seems that they never get out of the wilderness, seems that things are never working out so they can continue to advance. Now, I'm not saying and blaming anybody. I'm saying because I'm preaching this word, everybody's coming out. And so also been losing ground. And then we talked about the second kind of Christian. This Christian is battling in a battle, and they know it. But the thing of it is, pretty much, is they're always in kind of a stalemate. In other words, the forces of evil that they're fighting seems that they end up in a draw all the time. Or there's no real winner, meaning that there's no, we didn't advance, the church didn't advance at that particular time. And we found out that the scriptures say over in Luke chapter 19 and verse 13, he says, occupy until I come, or thereabouts, in the verse chapter 19. And occupy means to advance and hold. We quoted General Patton, George Patton. He said, the secret to winning the war is not to die for your country, but to make the other person die for his. Now, we're saying we're not looking for folks to die. But he is saying that you are to live. There's a life that God wants you to live. He wants you to come back and be able to fight another battle the next day or the next day. So we said the third level of Christianity is when people are using biblical principles and basically getting victory every time, winning and moving ahead, that they're using the power of God to really, really subdue the enemy in every place that they go. And this is the mature believer. This is where God wants every one of us. And I want to encourage you that if you're not there yet, that God promised us in his word that he'd be with us and never leave us or forsake us. So you might have had some setbacks, but I want you to be encouraged that you're about to move forward, and we're going to help get you there. Praise God in the name of Jesus. Now, as we do move forward, remember we ran up on a scripture. Come over to Matthew's gospel, please. And Matthew's gospel, chapter 11. If you can't get to these scriptures quickly, then look on the board and just jot them down, and you can look at them and research them on your own leisure. But in Matthew chapter 11, he speaks about John the Baptist. He said in verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there has not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he, greater than John the Baptist. Now, what is he saying, basically? Because that's a very, very powerful revelation there. He is saying that, hey, if somebody's been born into the kingdom of God, they have some new equipment. You know, there's Sometimes you can get a car and it'll have a dent in it and you touch it up and so forth like that and make it look new. But we haven't been touched up. We've been born again. We have been created new creatures in Christ. Inside of you is altogether something new. It's never existed before in this earth, and it's brand new if you've been born again. And that's brought into the family of God. So you're not only in the family of God, but you're in the kingdom of God. Say, I'm in the kingdom of God. You are part of God's kingdom. Look what he says here in verse 12. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. And the violent do what? The violent take it by force. Now, this is the mindset that we've got to have, that we're going to have to take some stuff. In other words, the enemy is just not going to roll over and play dead and let you have the ground that he claims he has, the crime, the drugs, whatever is going on. He's not going to just roll over. You're going to have to take it back. But you take it by faith. We walk by what? Faith and not by sight. Come on over to Psalm 103, please. Psalm 103. And over in Psalm 103, he talks about the kingdom of God in verse 19. If you look at that for me, please. Over in verse 19, he says this, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom, what? Ruleth over all. Now, two things. One is knowledge. This Bible is full of knowledge. And Paul prayed a prayer. He said, well, let's go over there. Let's see what he prayed. I pray this almost every day. Colossians chapter 1, please. Colossians chapter 1. Over in Colossians chapter 1, again, I have to move right on. And you can look on the board. Praise God. Amen. And Colossians chapter 1, he says in verse 9, for this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, this is Paul talking and him praying for the Colossian, the church of Colossae, and also the churches that he had oversight and church in general, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with a knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. This is Paul's prayer. This is what I pray for myself, pray for the church. Verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord into all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the what? Knowledge of God. Now this is interesting here because he is saying here that we will not cease to increase in knowledge. Now, I don't know about you, but I've read some things 3 years ago, and I come back now and read them. I get different revelation out of it than I did 3 years ago. So there is no end to the revelation that is in the book. Somebody tells you, oh, I heard that before. Oh, I read that before. You can tell right there and there in this first category down here that I'm telling you, because this is new every morning. This actually comes with new revelation. It'll, as you in that light, will you see light. You move from faith to faith, from glory to glory, and you'll see things today that you didn't see yesterday. So, he is praying that we really move forward and there be no boundaries in the knowledge that we can get from God. And what I did, I showed you also over in 2 Peter chapter 1. If you go over there, that's by the book of, after the book of Hebrews, over by the book of Revelation. 2 Peter chapter 1. If you look over there, he says here that in verse 12, for I will not be negligent, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things. Paul talking now, Peter, pardon me, though you know them and be established in the what? Present truth. I think there is present truth. I think there's truth that is true for right now. And it's good for right now. But as we move on in time, God opens up more truth. And it's called revelation. See, it's revelation because it's revealed. In other words, it was there all the time. But God just pulled the cover back on that piece because he can hide that piece and in time pull the cover back on it. You follow what I'm saying? And you'll see something that you never saw before. And like in the natural, knowledge is power. When you can get knowledge on something, if somebody goes into a doctor's office and they've been having heart palpitations, heart pain, so forth and so on, and they think something happened to their heart and get scared, now the enemy's talking to them, you're going to die to it. They go to the doctor and the doctor said, oh, you just need to get off that pizza at 12 o'clock at night. You know what I mean? So that's all that is. Your heart is fine. We checked an EKG, checked your blood flow and all that, and you got a heart of a 16-year-old. Boy, you come out of that, wow, okay, all right. You know. But what happened? Knowledge came in. And when that knowledge comes in, it changes your mindset, all kinds of things. So you want knowledge. Look at Hebrews. Look at the Hebrews. It's just before 1 Peter. Hebrews chapter 11. And we read this before, that as times go on, God's going to give more knowledge. Look at verse 40, Hebrews 11 and verse 40. God having provided some better things for us. Say better things for us. It was some better things for us that he's provided that he didn't provide for people before us. So we've got some better things for us. So God is moving on with this knowledge, and this knowledge is going to increase for us. And Paul is saying that, hey, there are things that we're going to be able to attain to that other people before us are not able to attain to. So a higher level and whatever have you. Now, as we look at this, we see that when we're talking about vengeance and recompense, I put that in this category of present truth. I put it in this category because I feel that I sense that God is opening this up now because the church is really going to provide solutions for the world and have the world to be able to get and see the church as people providing, Lord have mercy, I want to make this sure I'm right on this. The church is to be seen as problem solvers. Now, this vengeance and recompense, I took you through it because we're over there already. Let me take you to it again. It's found in Hebrews chapter 10. Now in Hebrews chapter 10, it says, verse 30, for we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord, and again the Lord shall what? Judge his people. Now, when we said vengeance and recompense, now what are we saying here? Oh, wait a minute, I thought I brought my folder. There it is. I just want to make sure I give you what I gave you before. That vengeance has nothing to do with hatred and some kind of emotional resentment or some kind of emotional retaliation. It has nothing to do with that. Not the Bible vengeance. But it's necessity of punishing offenders, and it proceeds from a love of justice. Now notice what he said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. Now, if you go all the way back to Adam, Adam ate of a tree that he was not supposed to eat of. And as a result of that, he fell from grace. He became a walking dead man. He died to God. Now, where there was love, there is not, and sharing, there is now selfishness. In other words, he lost the nature of God. And selfishness took over. And we know that because God asked him, said, Adam, why did you eat of it? He said, the woman you gave me. Now, notice the immediate effects of selfishness. In other words, mankind then engaged him or herself in a battle of self-defense. Now, this is very important because that's part of that fallen nature, to blame somebody else. Stay here now, stay here. I didn't say they were right or wrong. I said that's part of the nature. Now, if you remember, God now working with Abraham and taking Abraham out of this thing and not so much to be concerned about himself, but what's happening to other people. He prayed for Sodom. You remember Joseph? Joseph got falsely accused of some kind of sexual harassment or something like that. And next thing you know, they put him in prison. But the Bible says God was with him. If you notice David came to the front line. He said, hey, wait a minute, you know, what's going on? He said, well, the big guy Goliath, he's looking for somebody to fight him. None of us are able to, we're fearful of this guy. David said, well, I'll take him on. He said, now I killed the lion because the lion came in and tried to get one of daddy's sheep. Now I'm talking about this nature now, this new nature that is not selfish anymore. It is amazing how many decisions are made on selfishness. I see I'm going to have to wait on the next group next Sunday, but that's all right. All right, now I'm saying that because it reflects back to God as well. How about Daniel? Okay, now how about what happened with the three Hebrews? The three Hebrews were there and they made a law that you couldn't pray to, well, with Daniel, you couldn't pray to any god. With the Hebrews, they made a law, you got to bow down to this statue when the music plays. Well, what did they do? Said, no, we can't do that. We can't do that. Now, selfishness says, hey, I'm going to protect myself. I mean, God will understand. I'm bowing down here, praise God. Now, I really want you to see this because you'd be surprised that all of that's got to be purged out. And I'm giving you some strength through this teaching that you can get rid of self. Because for you to get the best of God and to finish in your wealthy place, self gonna have to be dealt with. Say amen to that. It's one thing or another. And understand, I know that the world doesn't have this capacity, but the Christians have it. And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people haven't moved any further. Still dealing with the same thing. Say amen to this. So now in this, every accused person many times is engaged in a self-defense strategy. Okay? Now, this is different because vengeance belongeth to me, saith the Lord. It doesn't belong to you. I don't expect you to retaliate. I don't expect you to try to get even with your enemies. I don't expect you to do that. I expect you to respect my word. And I'm telling you that vengeance is not yours, it's mine. Are y'all with me? Y'all flowing with me now? Now, two things. I'm going to come back to that, but I'm using this to open up something. Now, as we look at this, understanding vengeance, I said, creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Now, you got to understand it because part of your commission is to go forth into all the world. Now, a part of what's being revealed now is not just a salvation gospel. I'm going to get saved. I'm going to stay saved till Jesus comes. But it's, I'm saved. I'm seated together with him. and whatever he redeemed, I'm reclaiming. That's what we are. It's called transformation. And that's why you see some of the cities, Dallas or whatever, with some of the biggest churches in the world, in the country, in this country, but the least transformed. They still got the biggest drug problem. They still got some of the crime. They still got most divorces. They still got so forth, teen pregnancies, so forth and so on. I'm not saying anything about Dallas. I'm just saying some of the biggest cities, biggest churches, but no transformation. Why? Because it's been a salvation gospel. I'm coming in here to make sure that I don't get contaminated out there. But your job is to come in here, get refueled, retanked, and go out there and transform that world. Say amen. I'm going right into the middle of that drug, right into the middle of that crime, right into the middle of these divorces, right into, I'm doing it because I'm a solution bearer. That's the difference. That's where we are today. The revelation of who we really are is being pulled out. Yeah, I mean, that was no different between them way years ago when Jesus was there. Here were the Pharisees and Sadducees. And I mean, they were the perfect ones. They were, you know, and when they looked at a person that was a sinner, they would even take their mouth and make it real nasty. I mean, they could say it just as nasty as it could be said. But Jesus came for the whole world. They saw Jesus going home with Zacchaeus and say, he's going home with a sinner. But he transformed him. That's the power of that. Now, you are in the kingdom, but so is this earth. This earth has been redeemed. And the blood hit it, pow, it got redeemed. Every bit of it came back into the hands of the Father. But you are heirs of God. Say amen to that. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, he's given you. You are, say amen to that. Go over here with Psalm and Psalm chapter 50 for me, please. Psalm chapter 50. Amen. Love you too. Praise the Lord. Psalm chapter 50. Let me know when you get there. Over in Psalm chapter 50, look what he says here. This is God now. Remember that you are joint heirs with Christ and you are an heir of God. That means God has got an inheritance for you. And look what it says in verse 10 of Psalm 50. For every beast of the forest is mine. That's God speaking. And the cattle upon a thousand hills, who you think they are? Mine. And I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are whose? Mine. And if I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you about it. For the world is whose? Mine. And the what? Fullness thereof. Now, what is God going to do with a cow? You need the cow. He doesn't need the cow. You need the cow. Come on now. You need these places. You need doors to be open. Say amen to that. I'm saying all of this is for his family. Say amen to that. And I'm saying his kingdom rules over everything, but Satan took it and put it in the hands of his family. And now his family's got to give it up. Oh, Lord. Well, that came out of the Holy Ghost. Now, I want you to see something. Turn with me back to Exodus chapter 3, please. Exodus chapter 3. I'm not talking about getting mad with anybody. I'm not talking about any kind of emotional retaliation, but the violent are going to take it by force. Say amen to that. How about silver and gold? He said, the silver and gold are mine. Didn't he say that? What did I tell you to turn? Exodus chapter 3. Look what it says in verse 19. And what did I tell you? Redemption is not complete without what? Financial. What did I say? Empowerment. Yeah. But you don't. Look at this. Verse 19. I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not by mighty hand. Mighty hand, natural strength. I'm sure that Pharaoh is not going to let you go, Israel. He's talking to Moses now. Verse 20. I will stretch out my hand and smite Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst thereof. And after that, he will, come on. He gonna let you go. I said, that sickness is gonna let you go. You gotta hear what I'm saying. Look at verse 21. And I will give this people what? Favor in the sight of the Egyptians and Egyptians, and it shall come to pass that when you go, you'll not go empty. God never intended for you to come out without some stuff. But every woman shall borrow of her neighbor or of the sojourner in her house jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, clothing, and you shall put them on your sons and upon your daughters, and you shall do what to the Egyptians? You're going to spoil them. You're going to spoil the Egyptians. So I got some news for you. You're coming out, you're going to come out with some stuff. Now, wait a minute. Here's what God spoke to a man named Jerry Savelle. Here's what he spoke to him. He said, my people are letting the adversary get away with too much, not making him pay for what he has put them through, letting him off too lightly. I said, letting him off too lightly. So what is he saying here? He is saying, wait a minute, there's a recompense. What does recompense mean? It means a repayment. There's going to be a repayment for how the devil has treated you. He's going to have to pay. Come on now. He's going to have to pay for the things that he's done to you, the times that he's humiliated you, and so forth. I'm not blaming people because people were just the instrument, but the devil is behind it, and he's going to have to pay. So I'm not just going to set you free. I'm going to set you free with some payment. There are some damages are going to have to be paid to my people for what has happened to them. Now, let's go over to Isaiah chapter 33, please. Now, we've covered some of these, but I want you to see them. I said, I want you to see them. The violent take it how? By force. And I'm telling you, if you go in that scripture and you look at places like force, you look at Acts chapter 5. They took Peter and them and put them in jail. They put Peter and them in jail. This is the apostles. This is Acts chapter 5. And they put them in jail. Then an angel came in there, let them out. Let them out. Now, how could he do that? One, because all this belongs to the kingdom. Secondly, verse 22 of Isaiah 33, for the Lord is our judge. The Lord is our judge. Folks, I don't know whether you ever read this scripture before, but God speaks in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Don't turn there. Put it up on the screen, please. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Just put it up on the screen for me real quick. Okay? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that we shall judge angels? Now, what is he saying? He is saying, why are you going to some ungodly folks for them to judge you? Don't you know you judge them? Say amen to that. See, God sees them much below where you are. Say amen to this. He doesn't see them on your level. You are seated with him. They're not even capable of having the wisdom to judge you. Are you following what I'm saying? God is our judge. I'm saying? You see, I wrote a word down here. The word is that he is sovereign. And the word sovereign, I look it up because I know some of y'all like me to look up words. It means supreme. It means superior to all others. It means chief. It means one who possesses the highest authority without control. God is the judge. Say amen to that. But not only is he the judge, the Lord is our lawgiver. So no wonder the three Hebrews wouldn't bow down to that statue, because the Lord's law says you shall not bow yourself down to any other god. No wonder Daniel would not cease to pray when they made a law that you couldn't pray, because he was going by the law of the kingdom. He was going by his law. Say amen to that. So when the laws conflict with your laws of the laws of heaven, then you are obligated to the law of heaven. And get this, nothing will harm you. You cannot be molested. You cannot have accidents. Nobody can come and assassinate you. Now, I know some things have happened, but I'm looking at the Bible. It says 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right. And come on now. It will not come nigh you. You have become impervious. Incapable of being penetrated. Isn't this wonderful? Now, what you have to do is you have to grab hold of that, because understanding that will significantly affect your attitude and your behavior. Because you got to go into a fight knowing how you're going to come out. To go in there sweating, I sure hope this thing come out all right. What do you mean? You don't have to do that. See, you're not competing with the world. You're on another level. You're not competing. You're dominating. Hold your hand right there and go over again to Psalm chapter 75, please. Are you with me? But you've got to get a mindset of this. See, this doesn't work if you don't believe it. Say amen to that. But how can you believe unless you've heard? Well, how can you hear without a preacher? Well, how can he preach except he be sent? I've been sent. And I'm telling you, we're uncovering the revelation of vengeance and recompense. Now it's up to you to grab hold to it and refuse to let the devil steal it. Because once the word is sown, the enemy comes when? Immediately to try to steal that word. When he comes to try to steal that word, you don't need to fight him. Just flick him off, just like flicking fly. Go somewhere, Satan. This is mine. I'm getting my stuff. It's coming back to me now, devil. You're going to have your house spoiled. Telling you, they wouldn't let him go. Well, what did he do? See, if they'd let him go, he'd probably been all right. But he wouldn't let him go. And because he wouldn't let him go, God gave them authorization to spoil the whole house. I'm saying when they won't let you go, you got authorization that's okay, the whole company is coming into my hand. I'm going to be the boss. Boy, y'all got to get this, see? Somebody say, that's too good to be true. Yes, it is. It is too good to be true, because it is true. See, when the truth hits you, it's too good. You know what I mean? It's too good for the natural mind, but not your spirit. That's why you're standing up, because your spirit got up. Your spirit, when your spirit get up, you can't sit down. Say is your time. This is your day of deliverance. This is your time for favor. This is your day of release. This is your time of deliverance. Say amen to this. Now, what I said is it, when that's happening, notice it changes your attitude, it changes your behavior. And if I look over here, what did I tell you to look? Psalm 75. Now look what he says here, verse 6. The promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God, come on, is the judge. Who's the judge? God. He putteth down one, come on, he'll set up another supervisor. He'll take one down, I'm telling you now. Now, something happened. And I'm not gonna talk long because I'm out of time now. But something happened. And it was a tragedy. And it happened. And what was happening is apparently this man in Connecticut in shot all these people. It's a tragic thing. But it's interesting what happened is that he felt that there was a racial situation that he wasn't either treated fairly or some kind of, in his mind, form of injustice. Now, are you with me now? In other words, he felt like a victim. You with me? And he said something. Let me have my notebook down there. I thought I had it here. He said something. Yeah, let me give you this. This is very important. He said, that I had to take this thing into my own hands. Now, think about it. This man had no hope. You know that's true because he ended up shooting himself. Now, I'm just using this as an object lesson here. And we wish that wouldn't have happened, but it did happen. Vengeance of the Lord says, you don't have to take care of it. You don't have to take care of it. That's my job. The Lord has monitored abuses. And not only will deliver you, but recompense you. Now you got to hear what I'm saying here. Now understand, that takes the bitterness out of it. Because God is the judge. I don't care if it goes to the courthouse of the appellate court or whatever courts. I don't care if the judges argue and come up with something that's not in your favor and so forth, and you know they've done you wrong. You can take it to the ultimate court. And when you understand vengeance and recompense, it will significantly change your attitude and your behavior. Because when a person feels there's no hope, they become totally self-destructive. Because all hope is gone. Why am I going to live? All hope is gone. But vengeance brings the hope back. And he says, wait a minute, you don't need to take care of yourself. Just bring your complaint to me. You tell me what's going on and give me authorization to come in on your behalf, because now I'm taking your promotion out of your supervisor's hand. Because if they don't want to do what I say, I will take them down and put up another. Say amen to that. Now, I ain't mad at nobody. I can go in there just like David when they threw him in the lion's den. Folks, I did some more research on that. You know, they didn't throw him in a lion's den like you walk in there. They lowered him down in there. They had a place where they feed the lions on the side, but they lowered him down in there like a big piece of meat. And get this, once they lowered him down in there, the lions wouldn't touch him. I said the lions wouldn't touch him. Now understand, they had schemed on him to get him into a place where he would pray, even though the law said don't pray, because there are some unjust laws. And even when he prayed, they went and told the king on him. So they set him up. I'm talking about somebody might be working to set you up. But no weapon formed What kind of victory do you think you're going to be able to have when they can't even fire you? Now, I'm only saying that to take the edge off. You don't need to be mad no more. You don't need to be disgusted no more. You don't need to be calling names no more. I'm just telling you right now, they took Daniel, the lions wouldn't do nothing, and as long as he stayed in there, the king couldn't sleep. As long as they mistreat you, they're not going to be able to sleep. I decree it. They're going to have to do something. And then they came back the next day, and the king said this, oh, Daniel. And notice, Daniel said, long live the king. Now, can you hear him? In the midst of these lions, they, you know, a lion, he growls so hard and it's so deep until it actually vibrates you. You listen to a lion sometime, and you say, wow, David killed that with his bare hand. You just listen to it. I'm just saying, he's in the middle of it. So what did the king do? Pull David out of there. Now he went and rounded up every one of Daniel's accusers. He rounded up everybody who has come against you, everybody who tried to misuse you, everybody who tried to molest you, everybody who did something harm to you. He rounded it up and put them in the lion's den. And the Bible says, before they even got down in there good, the lions jumped up and grabbed them and even chewed up their bones. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. Folks, we're coming into a time that your days of fighting your own battles are over. Wherever you're going, the Holy Ghost is going to go before you, and he's going to make the pathway straight. Angels are going to be encamped around you. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. The blood of Jesus will be flowing for you. So even if you make a mistake, the blood will cleanse it right now. Oh, I'm preaching better than you said amen. We're about to take control. Woo! Sit down. Now, he had no hope. God did not leave you without hope. All we need to do is get some more revelation. This is our time. He is the judge. Watch this. The lawgiver. And the king. So what am I saying to you now? It's a new day. Are you at Isaiah 33 right there? Are you there? Isn't this wonderful? Oh, yeah. I said, oh, yeah. See, he felt he had to take matters into his own hands because he sensed no justice. Now, whether it was true or false, it was true in his mind. And I'm telling you right now that when the courts of the world are treating you unjustly, you can move to a higher court. Higher than the Supreme Court of the United States. See, our job, part of it is going to be to bring nations back in line with heaven's government. Isaiah 34 and verse 8. For it is the day of the Lord's vengeance and the year of recompenses for the controversy of Zion. I guarantee you, if you just believe what I preached today, your days of getting mad at folks will be over. The joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. God says in Psalm 105, verse 15, touch not my anointed. Do my prophets no harm. In Joel chapter 2, he says, I will restore to you the years that the cankerworm has eaten. Ha ha! And my people shall never be ashamed. Give the Lord a hand clap and a praise. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know what? It's interesting. I felt so sorry for the people that were shot and so forth. But I also felt sorry for the man. Because you could tell he had no hope. He took his own life. He said, is life even worth living? And no hope, no way out of this. I'm telling you, God always leaves you a way out. You will never get in a situation ever that God won't provide a way out. better. Better. Get rid of the anger. Get rid of the bitterness. It'll just draw you into something that you one day might regret. Let the love of God come into your heart. I'm telling you, when they do something wrong with you, you need to start praying for them. Because I'm telling you, God's going to keep His word. He told them to touch you not. You need to pray to God, have mercy on them. Because something is about to happen. He said, when you touch one of my little ones, you just tried to touch the apple of my eye. We are so precious in His sight. Oh, people are precious. Amen. Amen. Did that help you a little bit today? You are representing a whole new government. And He's got enough power to take care of anything. And you see, God is always with you because He doesn't have to go anywhere to be everywhere. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. This message has to get out. Because nobody now can stop you from reaching your destiny but you. Did you get something out of it? Yeah. Give the Lord one more praise, would you? Woo! If you're here today and you know in your life that you're not right with God, and you know that God has spoken to your heart during this time to get right with Him. He said, I have a plan for you. That's what He said. And it's not a plan for evil, but it's a plan for good. You see, nobody came into this earth without a plan. God had a plan for our lives, whether you knew it or not. Somebody said, well, I don't even know who my daddy was. That doesn't make any difference. You couldn't have come in this earth without a gift and a purpose from God. Now you need to get into it. Because when you get into it, like the youth said up here, there's a passion that'll take hold of you. And it's no longer work anymore. It's just enjoyment. Well, this is what I want to do. But to do that, you got to get it from God. You got to come back to God. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to take a moment now. And I'd like to call anyone who is sitting in the sound of my voice. And you know that you're not right with God. Now, I didn't ask you whether you've been to church before. I didn't ask you that because I had been to church. But as I got older, I saw that I really didn't have church in me. And I'm saying now what has happened is you've heard the gospel. You've heard some good news. Now to partake of it, you're going to have to act on it. Your first step is to getting Jesus into your life. He said, you cannot come to the Father except you come through Him. Now that's just the way the rules are. So you can't change those. So you have to come to Christ. So once you do come to Him, then He, first of all, a miracle takes place. You receive Him in your heart, and now everything changes. Everything, your whole orientation changes. Your destiny changes. Because before we knew him, we were destined for the same thing that Satan is destined for. And that's the lake of fire. We were destined to follow Satan. But now, once you come into him, receive Christ, all of a sudden you change. Your destiny is heaven. Yes. Not only that, every sin that you've committed is washed away. You got a brand new start. Now, let me tell you, that's worth something right there. And then the third thing, he put your feet on straight street.
Yes, sir.
You become about your Father's business. And let me tell you, that's when the peace comes into your heart. So if you're here right now and you know that I'm talking to you, the sermon was for you, you know that something I said stirred your heart, and you know that you're not right with God, allow me to be the pastor that will say the prayer with you and bring you into the kingdom. Allow me to do that. Now realize you didn't stumble in here by accident. This was not just something that just happened. God directed you in here today. So whoever that is, take a step of faith. Get up out of your chair. Come on up here. Stand with me right here at the altar.